Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to a brand new edition, brand new week of Drive Time Sports, right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Boscarini. As always, I'm happy to be with you on the afternoon drive, and we have reached the All-Star break for Major League Baseball. I love this time of year. Really, this is a great time of year, especially if you're not totally into baseball, but you like to get into it later in the season. Now's the perfect time to get into it, and we will have a baseball talk today. Bill Lasky, former Major League Baseball pitcher, joins us every Monday on the show to break down the latest happenings, and he will join us on the show. We'll talk about tonight's home run derby as well. I like the field. There's a lot of, I don't want to say non-superstars, a couple of guys in this home run derby that aren't necessarily household names, and I like that. The derby's an opportunity to showcase some of the power. Home runs obviously are way up. ERAs are way up in Major League Baseball this year, so I'm looking forward to tonight's home run derby. We will talk about that. It was a crazy weekend as far as the NBA goes. Kawhi Leonard finally has a new home. He is elected to sign with the Los Angeles Clippers. You know, last week on the show, I said I just don't see the Clippers being a factor in the Kawhi chase. I thought it was down between the Lakers and Raptors, and my thought process on this was Jimmy Butler signed in Miami. Kevin Durant signs in Brooklyn. Kyrie Irving signs in Brooklyn. Kawhi's not going to leave the Toronto Raptors and go to a team with no superstar. It doesn't make sense to do that. He's a two-time NBA champion. I think he's the best player in basketball right now. What we did not know is that Kawhi, who is very tight-lipped and is just a different kind of person, he's just different. He was going backdoor negotiating with Paul George. Paul George asks for a trade. The Oklahoma City Thunder and general manager Sam Presti say, okay, they deal him to the Clippers. Okay, if that would have been the case, if we'd have known the Clippers were in the market of trading to acquire a superstar, I would have thought the Clippers had a legitimate chance, but they didn't. That's Jerry West doing work. That's the way it happens in the NBA. So the whole time, Kawhi really wanted to play from the Clippers. That was the story and the thought, I know, by many of the national pundits all of last year. And Adrian Wojnarowski continued to say, look, it's not the Lakers, it's the Clippers. I just didn't see a legitimate path for Kawhi to get to the Clippers. Trade breaks, Clippers acquire Paul George, boom, there it is. Kawhi's a Clipper. We'll talk about the landscape of free agency. What does this mean for the Raptors and Lakers? I know what it means for the Clippers. What does it mean for the Raptors and Lakers? We'll take a look at all three of those teams a little bit later on in the show as well. Now, there's just not a lot of action going on today because we are at the All-Star break. I know we have the Home Run Derby tonight, like I was just talking about. Once we get past the next two nights, Wednesday and Thursday are horrible as far as the national sports scene goes. I mean, this is an opportunity to catch up on Game of Thrones or watch, Stranger Things. I've never seen an episode of either of those two shows, but people tell me they're great. There's a couple of days where you can actually take a look at some other programming outside of sports because we have nothing on the national scene here in the next couple of days. We do have some local sports returning tonight. The Helper American Legion baseball team will take the field against Pleasant Grove. One contest. It'll begin at 7 p.m. Tonight, it's the only, no doubleheader action, the only game tonight, then they'll return to the field tomorrow. If we have time, we will talk a little local sports on the show. We'll give you the recap, some upcoming events and things that are happening on that front. Let's take a look at the national sports scene and some of the headlines. This works hand in hand with the Clippers saga, along with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Russell Westbrook wants out of Oklahoma City, and I think this is probably best at this point in time for both teams. It looks as if the Miami Heat may be the front runner. I would expect a team like the Heat or the Rockets to really make a play for Westbrook because they have two people in charge of basketball operations that are extremely aggressive. Be it Daryl Morey in Houston or be it Pat Riley in Miami. Sam Presti, I think, can get the deal done with either of these two. We will talk about that a little bit later on. And some other news out of the NBA. Avery Bradley has signed a two-year deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, just roughly below the mid-level exception. The second year is a player option, not a team option. I think the Lakers have done wonders as far as free agency. And again, we'll talk more about the Lakers a little bit later. And former Duke standout Jabari Parker has signed a contract with the Atlanta Hawks. The free agency period for the NBA starting to dry up a little bit, although there could be some big names hitting the market relatively soon as buyouts begin to take place. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national scene. Again, we are going to talk Major League Baseball, a little home run derby, and we'll break down the very busy weekend of the NBA. That's all straight ahead right here on Drive Time Sports. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 AM.
We'll talk some baseball today on this Monday edition of Drive Time Sports. Like right now, NBA has got a bit everything. A lot of hyperbole coming out of the NBA. I love talking baseball right now. We have a little bit of a break. We're heading into the All-Star break, All-Star week. I know it's a very exciting time. And even for the lighthearted casual fans, this is typically when they really start paying attention to baseball. You have the diehards that love it year-round. But if you're just a casual baseball fan, second half of the season, trade deadline right around the corner, this is the perfect time to get into baseball. Joining us right now, as he does every week, to talk Major League Baseball, we have Bill Lasky, former Major League pitcher and now an analyst with the San Francisco Giants. We'll talk about his work and more in just a bit. Bill, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, good afternoon to you and your faithful fans. And it is All-Star break, which means everybody starts thinking about trades. The next 2 weeks, as we all know, the August 1st trade date is now concrete. There's nothing going on after that. So the next 2 weeks, you're either a buyer or a seller, and that's what usually happens in the organizational meetings during the All-Star break, and you also have all the general managers meeting in the All-Star city of Cleveland, and that's where a lot of deals are done, so we'll start seeing them in the next couple weeks.
We'll talk about the trade deadline in just a moment. Bill, as we hit the All-Star break, I think it makes sense to kind of take a look at divisional races and where we're sitting at. So let's begin with the National League. And I know that from time to time we jump around, we talk about some of these teams. But we'll start with the National League East. As we hit the All-Star break, the Atlanta Braves right now at 54-37. It doesn't appear that this team is going to go anywhere. I know a few weeks back we looked at second place, said it was Philadelphia and then everyone else. Washington has played better baseball. They've won 8 out of their last 10. But they're 6 games back of Atlanta. Are you surprised at the way this division is playing out? Moving forward, do you expect any change?
I think they're all going to change. I really think they're all going to build something. Just today, Arrieta coming out with a bone spur on his elbow, and his numbers aren't that great in Philadelphia. Now, they said they're going to start searching, casting a net to try to find a starting pitching. Atlanta's got young starting pitching, so they may be reaching out to get a veteran. Wheeler from the Mets is a name now floating out there for people to jump on. And then you got Washington, who Scherzer's is coming alive, taking that rotation to a next level, and they're starting to play better baseball. I think all three are going to look to do something, either bullpen help or starting pitching. I really don't think the flavor is offense or defense. I think everybody's going to look and lock into some pitching.
You know, again, looking at the three teams at the top, Atlanta has had a little bit of problem, I guess, finding a rotation that they can stick with, but there's so much talent there. I was talking about Max Scherzer. Washington should probably look to move him. That would be a disaster at this point in time. You take a look at what Patrick Corbin has been doing. He's been dealing. He's been very good. The big disappointment has got to be the Philadelphia Phillies because, again, Bill, going out and spending a lot of money, they are not any better at this stage in the season this year as they were last year.
I totally agree with you, and, you know, I hate to say it, but Harper has not done much at all there to really perceived to be the king. He's the superstar in Philly, and he really hasn't taken a bull by the reins yet. And you start looking up and down that order, of course, a couple of suspensions, or I should say the main suspension today that came out of Philadelphia. I think it was Heredia. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
He got in.
Adubel Herrera, yep.
Yep, and he's suspended now the rest of the year. So some problems coming out of Philly, and I don't think their expectations are high anymore. I think they're really questioning, do we have enough? I just think right now, you know, when you start looking division, Washington's going to jump them. They're playing really well.
Well, let's move over to the Central. Cubs right now a half game better than the Milwaukee Brewers, and then after that it's really, really tight. We have the Cardinals 2 games back, the Pirates, who have played very, very well over the last little while, and they're doing it without Jameson Taillon as far as that pitching rotation goes. They're, what, 2.5 back, and then you have the Reds in last place, only 4.5 back. And this is by far the most interesting division in baseball. I don't think there's any doubt.
No doubt about it, and I think, you know, we talk about the first half of a season, you really sprint. You know, my pitching coach used to always say this: you sprint to the All-Star game, then you run like a marathon the second half. So you start looking at your starts as a starting pitcher. You're looking at your starts. You're looking at your opponents, and it's really getting to the All-Star point for teams too. When you look at the offense, the defense, what's strong, what's weak, and they start judging everything. And that's what I think this division is: who is going to start selling off to try to get some youth? Who's going to buy some players that could literally band-aid you to the end to see if you have enough? Perfect division to the synopsis I just said.
No doubt. Let me throw a name out there as well. If we're talking midseason MVPs, a guy that I believe deserves a lot of credit, and he's not getting talked about nearly enough, and again, I'm going to talk about the Pittsburgh Pirates, is Josh Bell. Okay, this is a guy that leads the team. He's got a .302 average, leads the team in home runs, RBIs, OBP, and hits. Now, I know the Pirates right now are still a little ways back, but if the Pirates were to climb that mountain, if they were to climb that hill and get back into, you know, I guess, division championship contention, I don't know why we're not talking about Josh Bell. This guy's been stellar.
I totally agree with you. I've been watching him hitting balls in the Allegheny River. I mean, the switch hitter, power hitter, long arms. I mean, he's finally reached to that elite hitter state. And then the thing about him, he's not stopping. I can't wait to watch him in the Home Run Derby tonight, see if he does crush the ball. And I agree with you. He's a top elite player in the first half for me.
No doubt. And then we can move over to the NL West. And as we've talked about, the Dodgers are definitely the cream of the crop. And if we are talking MVP, of course it's Cody Bellinger and everybody else in the NL. But outside of that, it's getting interesting behind the Dodgers, because the Diamondbacks have now won 3 consecutive games. They're at 46-45. The Padres climbed to .500 after taking 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. And the Rockies, who just a week and a half ago were 10 games back of the Dodgers, are now 14.5 back in second to last place, only 3 games better than your Giants.
And our Giants are moving. They won 6 out of 7. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals, swept the Padres. And I tell you what, their offense woke up. But at this division, there's no doubt the Dodgers will win the division. It's going to be who's going to be fighting, if possible, to get in the wild card. And I'm saying all 4 teams, because I think all 4 teams are about even right now. I don't believe anybody's really strong in the NL West except the Dodgers.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I do believe, and I've thought this all year long, that the Padres are maybe a year, maybe even 2 behind. The Rockies, I liked coming into the season, but look, we saw it last year. The Dodgers gave them basically 2 months to put that division out of reach, and they couldn't do it. I'm with you. I mean, really, it's okay baseball once you get past L.A.
I tell you what, and we can mark it today. I'll bet you $1 on air that the Dodgers will have a 20-game lead by the end of July.
I wouldn't take that bet because they should be up.
Jordan, in front of all your listeners, take the bet.
I believe the Dodgers will. I believe they will take a 20-game lead at some point in time in that division. This is a team that's only going to get better. I mean, this is a team that will make a move. We know how aggressive Andrew Friedman is. Here in the next couple of weeks, the Dodgers will do something, and I believe it'll be that bullpen, Bill. And if they get that bullpen shirt up, I don't think there's anybody in the bigs that can beat them in a 7-game set. I really don't.
No, and I tell you what, the whole key Dave Roberts has to do is injury. He's got to watch injury. He's got to give ample rest. That's what he's going to be looking at the second half, because that team is loaded, and that team is on all cylinders. Sure, they just lost 3 out of 4 to the Padres, but they have been an outstanding first-place team, over 60 wins, or maybe it is 60 wins. Just watching them as they face the Giants and other NL West contenders, they are 100% committed to win that World Series this year.
Right, and if we talk about the offense, Corey Seager has missed the last 3 weeks. A.J. Pollock, who was one of their massive free agent signings, he's going to be back after the All-Star break. He's missed the majority of the season as well. So the offense, it's only going to get better.
I totally agree with you. And Bellinger, what a first half. MVP, no doubt. And the ample whip in his swing, Jordan, it's just as a pitcher seeing that, I mean, his torque and his swing, it's so beautiful when he makes contact, doesn't it?
Oh, it is. It really is. It's been a thing of beauty all year. And as far as what he's been able to do in the field, he's been equally impressive.
Yeah, I just think he's the full package this year, and he should be. Highlights in him in L.A., I mean, there's no doubt. If he has a second half year like that, who knows? Triple Crown might even be talked about.
Bill, let's move over to the American League, because as it gets a little bit deeper and deeper, the AL East, I think is going to be very compelling the deeper we get, because the Yankees, yes, I know they are powerful all the way through and through, but it's time to finally start giving Tampa Bay a little bit of credit, and I've been awful on that all year. I just keep waiting for the Rays to just slip and fall, and that's not happening right now. The Red Sox are playing better baseball. The Blue Jays and the Orioles, that's a different story. But I do believe that the Red Sox and the Rays can press the Yankees over the next, I don't know, 6-7 weeks to make things interesting in the East.
I'm hoping Tampa Bay does hold through. I'm right there with you. A team that's really been scrapping for the last couple years, and they're holding on. And the key there is, Boston going to get strong? Is Boston going to pick up a starting pitcher? Now they're talking about today and rumors. So I don't think the Yankees are 100% golden yet in that division, even though they are playing pretty good, and some guys are still on the IL. We'll definitely see if Tampa Bay can hold on to second half and if they make any changes.
I think one of the least interesting divisions all year long has been the Central. The Twins have kind of had their way, although the Indians have now won 6 straight going into the All-Star break. Taking a look at this one front to back, it's a two-team race. And Bill, you could tell me, how much should we really consider the Indians as legitimate threats to what the Twins have going on here in the second half?
My alliance is on the Twins. I just think that's just a great revelation of the organization kicking it forward, playing good baseball, and I don't think the Indians have enough. Sure, they got on a little win streak, as we talked about my Giants too out here, but when you look at length, I just don't think they have enough. I think Minnesota will also tinker and maybe get a player or two. And see if they can go a little farther. But I just think the Twins, as well as Tampa Bay, are great baseball stories for this first half.
And then we can talk about the AL West. I know you have the opportunity to watch the A's from time to time. Well, you want to talk about a whirlwind season. The A's, it's been a roller coaster, to say the least. I mean, they drop all the way down to fourth in that division. They've been as high as 2, been right there with Houston for first. Right now, they're back in second place after winning 7 out of their last 10. The Astros, obviously, are the cream of the crop. But outside of that, you have some pretty good baseball teams here. I like Texas, and the Angels at times have been pretty good this year as well.
I agree. I just think Houston has been the most consistent the first half. And as you said, the A's, they are a roller coaster. They'll win 3 or 4 in a row, and then they'll drop 3 or 4 in a row. Injuries, the IL, they got Chapman back, and Olsen, both of them are playing well. Chapman, of course, is going to be in the home run derby tonight. But Olsen's a big part of that. And, of course, Chris Davis has been on and off the IL the whole first half. These guys are the power hitters. These guys that generate that middle of the order for the A's. And their pitching staff has been very inconsistent. That's what I say about the All-Star break. A lot of the organizations are having their meetings today to see what they can do. Is there somebody in the AAA that could get an opportunity? These are times when they shut down and they get into the baseball minds of, how can we help our team, or how are we going to make be sellers and sell certain parts and make sure you have enough to fill in those holes if you don't get another player that's equal or better. So I think Oakland's looking at pitching too. Texas was tinkering. They were pretty hot for a while, and then they got cold. But I just don't think the Angels or the Mariners have enough to even, I think you're going to start seeing some sell spots out of both those clubs.
Bill, we'll end with this. You're a former player. You're still around the game, very much so today. What does the All-Star break truly mean for a player, and how important is it moving forward?
I think it means a lot, especially guys that are hot, that are at the All-Star game with the honor of representing the National American League. And some were voted in by fans, some were asked to come, but they've had good first halves, halves that fans should look at, fans that honor the game and see new faces and new players because the game is changing so fast. I love what they did with CeCe Sabathia, bringing him in to honor him. I think he deserves it. I think he'll be in the Hall of Fame sooner than later. And I just think the All-Star break is really fan support of the game. Watching the Home Run Derby today, watching an All-Star game tomorrow, and having hopes the second half for your team that you're cheering for. And if they're bottom feeders, then the stars of the team might be traded, and you have youth coming in to try to service your organization to get it back top. So there's a lot of things, especially as a player. A player is going to motivate himself for the second half, see what's going on with him, and there's a lot of players that are on edge to seeing if they are going to be traded, because as we talk about, August 1st is the deadline. July 31st, there's no more trades. So the next 2 weeks after the All-Star game, you're either going to be a buyer or seller, and that's what's fun about baseball. What's going to happen next?
Here we go, Bill. Prediction's sure to go wrong. Who you like in the Home Run Derby tonight?
You know what? I threw it out there. I voted for Guerrero.
Vlad, I like it. Yeah, I like Vlad. I like Vlad.
And you know who I had him going against? Josh Bell. Those are my two finalists.
Well, I'm going to go Jock Peterson. Everything has gone so well for the Dodgers. I'm going to take Jock tonight.
Okay, and who do you got him going against?
Well, he's got to get through Vlad to get there. So if he gets through Vlad, I'm going to say Bell. I'll say Peterson and Bell.
I just think Vlad's got the upper body and the twist to knock 15, 20 home runs each round. I do, and he's young, and he's a bull. That's why I'm going with him. Open everybody's eyes, because this guy, it can hit.
And you know who I think can cause some that can cause some problems in this Home Run Derby? I don't think we should sleep on Alex Bregman either. I think this is one of those events where Bregman could perform very well, yes.
And you know what? He hits line drives.
He does.
That's the key about him. These other guys launch. So you'll get tired, but it's, what, four-minute rounds tonight? I think that's the new rule, and we'll see how many each one hits in that time period.
Yep, it's fun. It's fun. It's a nice little break from the action, and everyone always looks forward to it. The All-Star game, the All-Star break. And, of course, Bill, we look forward to getting you on the show every week. Before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find you.
Just on Twitter, at Lasky19, if you want to join Twitter and check it out there. It tells them some shows coming up on KNBR. Our radio flagship here, and some Giants news. People follow Giants. So anything else, my friend? It was a good show. I appreciate the time with you, as always.
It's always fun, Bill. Thank you again. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
We got a break for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We'll move over to talk NBA basketball. That's next, right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. We are live from the Auto Farm Studios.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ron Artest, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan. Listen, you must... Say it again? Buscarini? All right. Jordan Buscarini. All right. With Jordan Buscarini. Shout out to Queensbridge, you already know.
Coming to you live from Price.
Put that cookie down!
Price, Utah.
Now!
Me and my man, Trav. Love Price. Price is awesome.
Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini and Travis Anderson on KOAL AM 750. Eastern Utah's main source for local sporting news.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM live from the Auto Farm Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Let's talk NBA basketball. And the news that shocked the NBA world Friday night going into Saturday morning, that Kawhi Leonard had picked the Los Angeles Clippers. And if you take a look at the Vegas odds right now, the Clippers are the front runners to win the NBA championship. And now that we're past July 6th, everything's finally official. So now we can look at teams. Deals are officially signed. Trades are now totally official. And I've got to be honest, when I look at the new landscape, I look at these rosters that have been put together, I thought the Lakers recovered beautifully from missing out on the Kawhi sweepstakes. Toronto, there's not a whole lot they can do. And so, you know, the Raptors are what we thought they were, but I was curious as to how the Laker front office would respond to not getting Kawhi. They pick up DeMarcus Cousins, low risk, high reward. They go out and they get Avery Bradley today. They sign him to a two-year deal. I really like this Laker team. Quinn Cook is another guy that they brought in. They re-up Rajon Rondo. They bring back JaVale McGee. I like what the Lakers did. Being realistic, if you look at teams front to back, the three deepest teams in the NBA, the Los Angeles Clippers, the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Utah Jazz, I think they're the three deepest teams in the league. Definitely the three deepest in the West. And I also believe that Rob Pelinka managed to put together the deepest roster that LeBron has ever had. I mean, that's a legitimate argument when you take a look at this new Laker roster. And I like the pieces. I think it's setting up for a dynamic story, and I think it's ultimately good for the league. You know, I think it's great that there are two teams in Los Angeles, second largest market, that are going to be very, very good moving forward. I think the same thing in New York. The Knicks had a pretty good offseason. Wasn't great, but I thought it was pretty good. And so moving forward with Kyrie and KD in Brooklyn, it's going to be compelling basketball. Let's look at the Clippers. Okay, and this is a deep team as well. Like I said, one of the three deepest teams in my mind in the league right now. Patrick Beverley at the point guard spot. I didn't think the Clippers overpaid for Beverley. They managed to bring him back, and they still kept that max contract spot. Paul George at small forward, Kawhi Leonard at power forward, and then they re-up Ivaka Zubac, who they traded for last year with the Lakers. Coming off of the bench, Lou Williams, dynamic, sixth man of the year candidate year in and year out. Jamichael Green, Wilson Chandler, Rodney McGruder, Montrezl Harrell. That's a deep team. Not as deep as the Jazz, and I don't believe they're as deep as the Lakers, but when you have Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Pat Beverley, and you can bring Wilson Chandler and Lou Williams off your bench, you have a little bit of depth. Let's take a look at the Lakers roster. Now, the Lakers made the announcement today that LeBron James would be the point guard, which I'm completely fine with. I think that's perfect for LeBron. Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma, Danny Green, which, again, that's a signing I failed to mention just a moment ago. Excellent signing. The Lakers needed Danny Green so bad, they go out and they get their guy. Rajon Rondo, JaVale McGee, Jared Dudley, DeMarcus Cousins, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Quinn Cook, and Troy Daniels. The Lakers have three players on their roster that have shot 40% from the three-point line for their career. When is LeBron most successful? When he has shooters around him. Rob Pelinka managed to go out and get LeBron James shooters. As far as perimeter defense goes, Rondo and Green, they're going to cause fits. Jared Dudley's a great defender. The Lakers did wonders. That's a deep team. I believe that is the deepest team that LeBron has ever had. I mean, you go back to the teams with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They had aging vets. They were somewhat deep. You know, they would go out. I believe they sent Mike Bibby the one season. Shane Battier was a sneaky good signing. I mean, that team could go 7 or 8 deep. This Laker team is legitimately 10 deep. I thought Pelinka did a wonderful, wonderful job. And then you look at the Jazz. The Jazz got tremendously better from last season, and I said last week on the show that the Jazz would have to be one of the top four teams in the Western Conference. You had to at least consider the Jazz as being a top four team, top three team, maybe even the best team of the West. I would buy that argument. Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Bojan Bogdanovic, Ed Davis, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, Dante Exum, Royce O'Neal, Jarrell Brantley, Jeff Green, Emmanuel Mudiay. That is a deep roster. I mean, I challenge you. Give me another roster in the league that is more deep and more well-rounded than the three that I just mentioned. And don't tell me the Philadelphia 76ers, because the Sixers, they're not close to either of those three teams. They're just not. I like Philly in the East. I think it comes down between Philly and Milwaukee. If you're an Eastern Conference basketball fan, if your team, if your favorite team is in the Eastern Conference and it's not the Toronto Raptors, you've got to be thrilled right now because the East is going to be wide open. But again, you take a look at Philadelphia and what they did. I love Al Horford, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, Ben Simmons. They can't shoot the outside shot. You know, look who they have coming off of the bench. I'm not sold on this Philadelphia 76er team from an all-around standpoint. Milwaukee? I don't think Milwaukee's any better. I think Indiana? I don't know if Indiana's any better. The Celtics? I do believe the Celtics may be a better team, as crazy as that sounds. Without Al Horford, I mean, to me, that's the big miss. Enes Kanter, you're going to improve offensively. But you look at Kemba Walker, I would rather have Kemba dollar for dollar than Kyrie, if I had my choice between the two right now. Now, again, you do drop off a little bit with Al Horford and Enes Kanter, but outside of that, I think the Celtics are fine when I look at the depth chart of Boston. Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Enes Kanter, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart, Semi Ojeleye. There's some decent depth there. It's not Laker, Clipper, Jazz deep. Three deepest rosters in the league. And if I have to put someone in that same category, I'll throw the Denver Nuggets in there. Denver, I thought, did a terrific job maintaining this offseason. They did not get any worse. That was a young roster. They're going to have another year under their belt. I'll throw the Rockets in, or excuse me, the Nuggets in there. Four deepest rosters in the Western Conference, in my mind. Even more deep than the five-time Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors. Again, I like what the Nuggets have. That's a young roster. The Nuggets have done it, quote-unquote, the right way. Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic, Bol Bol. They did let go of Trey Lyles. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Paul Millsap, Michael Porter Jr., if he can ever play. I like it. So that's my take on the weekend in the NBA. The Lakers did a terrific job after coming out on the losing end of the Kawhi sweepstakes. And the Clippers, well, they have Jerry West. And I'll point this out with Jerry West, and it's a shame on me, and it's a shame on anyone else who doubted the Clippers grabbing Kawhi, because I did. I doubted the Clippers grabbing Kawhi last week. Jerry West plays chess while everybody else plays checkers. That's why the Clippers were able to acquire Paul George. I mean, you can have a problem with the way things work in the NBA in today's world. You know, you can have a problem with players demanding trades and basically running the league. That's fine. But Jerry West finds a way. You go back to the summer of 96. Jerry West acquires Shaquille O'Neal and still probably the biggest free agent signing in the history of the NBA. At least one of them. And he finds a way to add Kobe Bryant in the same summer via trade with the Hornets. Lakers win a couple of championships. Jerry West moves on. He moves over to Memphis. The Grizzlies have never tasted the playoffs. Jerry West puts him in the playoffs. West leaves Memphis. He goes to Golden State. And they build one of the greatest dynasties in the history of the NBA. Jerry West leaves Golden State. He goes to the Clippers. This franchise is a mess. And I want you to remember where the Clippers were just a couple of years ago. Lob City. Terrible contracts with DeAndre Jordan. Chris Paul is starting to decline. Blake Griffin signed a massive deal. He can't stay healthy. The Clippers are stuck. There's really no place for the Clippers to go. They couldn't acquire a three. They tried to fill that slot with Paul Pierce. The Clippers are a mess. Enter Jerry West. Chris Paul, gone. Blake Griffin, gone. DeAndre Jordan, gone. The Clippers win 48 games last year with a roster that you look at and say, huh? I mean, they took two games from the Warriors last year in the playoffs. The puzzle pieces fit. Then he goes out this offseason, gets rid of Danilo Gallinari's contract, which is not great. Brings in Paul George. Yeah, he gave up a bunch of draft picks. I don't care about the draft picks. I care nothing about that. But he gave up four first-round picks, so be it. I don't care anything about that. You give them up for the next 10 years. If the league allowed it, I would trade a draft pick. I would trade 10 years worth of draft picks to bring in a superstar in the NBA. I would. You can fill your roster with non-guaranteed deals, and you can also build through free agency. This is not the NFL. first-round draft picks in the NBA, especially once they're outside the lottery. I don't care anything about them. So Jerry West gives up a historical haul in draft picks to get Paul George. He traded an historical amount of draft picks and Danilo Gallinari for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. That's the way you have to view it. That is Jerry West doing Jerry West type things once again. The greatest general manager, the greatest basketball president of basketball operations, the greatest advisor, the greatest talent evaluator, however you want to peg it, in the history of the NBA. He does it time and time again. Did you ever think you would see a day where the Los Angeles Clippers are the favorites in the Western Conference, or the favorites in the NBA, not just the Western Conference, they're favorites to win an NBA championship? Jerry West has put them in that spot once again. Like I said, all in all, I thought the Lakers did fine. The Raptors, they're not a championship team. They'll be back into the playoffs. We got a great showdown in LA, and the Western Conference is going to be wide open because there are legitimately seven teams that could cause fits in that conference. And we'll talk about that when we return. It's Drive Time Sports Monday edition of the show here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, putting the final touches on this Monday edition of the show. And we're going to continue to talk NBA basketball. And talked about what I believe the three to four deepest rosters in the NBA. I believe they all sit in the Western Conference. Lakers, Clippers, Jazz, Nuggets. To me, that is the four deepest rosters in the West. I'll bring in Travis Anderson to help close out this edition of the show. Travis, let's start by talking about the West. Now that the dust is settled, we're going to see minor moves. I know from here on out, maybe some major moves if Russell Westbrook is moved, but I do believe if Westbrook gets moved, it's going to be to the Eastern Conference. Miami seems to be the name that keeps popping up. So we look at the deepest teams in the West and the way the West shapes out. In your mind, who are the top eight teams in the Western Conference?
Top eight. All right. We'll start with number one. I think the Los Angeles Lakers are the best team in the Western Conference. I like their depth. I like the way that they rebounded back. I give the Lakers the nod over the Clippers. I think the Lakers are a little bit deeper than the Clippers.
I think they're deeper, too. I talked about that last segment. I believe they are deeper.
LeBron and AD are better than George and Kawhi.
I don't think people realize how good Anthony Davis is.
Well, they're going to find out.
They're going to find out. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has played in the New Orleans market for 7 years.
Yeah.
You're going to find out this guy is really, really good. And if LeBron is going to run the point, the pick and roll option between LeBron and AD is going to be absolutely lethal. So I agree with you. Lakers, okay, I'm fine with that. Number
Lakers
two.
One, Clippers two. I think okay, the Clippers get there. The edge at two. The Jazz are the third best team in the Western Conference.
Okay.
For me, I think number four is Denver.
I'm with you.
Denver was the two seed last year. Yeah. How soon we forget that this team brings everybody back, but what, Trey Lyles? They didn't get any worse. So I give Denver the nod at four. Now it's going to get tricky. I'm going to go Golden State at five.
I agree with you wholeheartedly with Golden State. And if Golden State finds a way to get into the top four, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised one bit because this is going to be a very good team. If they decide to hang on to D'Angelo Russell, which they very well may, they didn't just lose Kevin Durant. That was a sign and trade to acquire D'Angelo Russell. I love the Willie Cauley-Stein signing as well. I mean, that's so under the radar. Gives them some length down low. I'm with you. Golden State at five. I agree with you. One through five, I have no arguments so far.
Number six, I'm going to go with Houston at six. They still have James Harden. They still have Chris Paul. They still have Clint Capela. They're still going to be a very good team. I think that they're going to be six, which would drop Portland to seven.
I like Portland a little more than Houston.
I would like Portland more if they had better wing defenders.
Well, they lost a lot. I mean, losing Mo Harkless, who's another player you have to mention with the Clippers, and also losing Al-Farouq Aminu. Yeah, they did lose some perimeter defense. You do have a shot blocker and Hassan Whiteside, but nothing else. I mean, he can't defend.
Those two are in it. You can flip-flop those two if you want.
At this stage, though, what's the more effective backcourt in your mind? Is it Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, or James Harden and Chris Paul at this stage right now?
Dame and...
I think so.
CJ. So,
And that's why I would probably give the edge to Portland. But again, 6 and 7, we're splitting hairs here. We really are.
I'll go Houston, and then I'll go Portland, and then I think New Orleans gets in.
I think New Orleans gets in as
and
well.
And I think that means San Antonio's out.
San Antonio's going to be right there battling, I think, with
but
New Orleans.
But I like New Orleans is good. New Orleans is deep. And I think a deep roster.
Dallas is going to be much better this year as well.
The Mavericks got better this offseason. Do they get in? Probably not, but they're going to be competing to get in. And so the West, again, I love it. 1 through 8. Here's the thing. I was talking 1 through 7 a minute ago. When you put everything in consideration with the Spurs maybe getting in and the Pelicans maybe getting in and the Mavericks being in that category.
Sacramento's
going to be better as well.
They showed some improvement last year as
well. So all in all, this is the most competitive balance we have seen in the Western Conference in probably a decade.
Yeah.
I mean, really, the competitive balance is going to be fantastic. And a lot of that has to do with Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers. Now, I think that there would have been massive competitive balance had he elected to stay in Toronto as well. There would have been no competitive balance if he went to the Lakers. But looking at where the Eastern Conference was, look, Toronto didn't breeze by the Eastern Conference by any means. They were in a 2-0 hole
to
Milwaukee.
They were very fortunate to get past Philadelphia and Milwaukee.
Yes, they were very fortunate to get past Philly. So the competitive balance would have been there had Kawhi went to Toronto or stayed in Toronto or with Kawhi going to the Clippers. I like it. I think the NBA is going to be very entertaining, and for the first time in a long time, it's going to be the most fun not knowing what the outcome is going to be.
One injury can derail everything. And the West, if you look at 1 through 8, if the Lakers lose a LeBron or an AD, I mean, they're accustomed to injuries, AD is, so that could drop them from a 1 to a 7 or an 8. You don't know, it's so deep.
I love the superstar duos, okay, because Golden State, you still have Klay and Steph. Clippers, you got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Lakers, you have LeBron and AD.
Jazz, you got Mitchell and you can throw Conley in there.
I guess you can throw Conley in there. Houston, of course, you have Harden and Paul. I love the two-star mold
CJ
in the Western
Dame.
Conference. CJ and Dame. So I really like where the Western Conference is heading. Like I said, in the East, I think the NBA Finals will go through Milwaukee.
I'm
I think they're the team to beat there. But there are some other teams that, you know, I don't mind Philly. Philly needs to add a couple of shooters.
They're better defensively.
They don't have enough guys
that can spread the floor to where when they, you know, crowd Ben Simmons or a Joel Embiid, they don't have that guy that can get his own shot.
They need Kyle Korver, who was just bought out.
I think that last spot that the Lakers have is going to Kyle Korver, since Iguodala is not going to get bought out.
Doesn't look like he's going to get bought out.
So if that's
like
the Lakers, you need shooting. You need as much shooting as possible, and they have plenty of it now. You had Korver. Korver's not very good defensively, but that guy can knock down the three.
Out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. I want to thank Bill Lasky for taking out the time. Enjoy the home run derby. Who are you taking tonight?
I'll go Acuna.
I'm going to go Peterson and Bell in the finals. Give me Peterson to win it. Acuna, I like Acuna.
I'll go with him.
Acuna and Bell are two to definitely watch tonight. We'll talk about that on the show tomorrow. Again, he's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.